decentralized press spectrum packet network. Take it
away. Okay. Sorry about the delay with the PowerPoint stuff. Today I'm going to be talking about some research I did, which was a follow-on to my master's thesis research, which itself was a follow-on to what Tim Shepard did for his PhD research, and he's going to be talking about that tomorrow. So some of the stuff may kind of rely on what he's going to talk about tomorrow. I'm going to try to avoid that as much as possible, but it will definitely get a little more clear tomorrow. But if I'm not, if I don't give enough background, somebody just let me know, and I'll try to explain it a little better. Okay. Essentially, the networking system that we are working with here is it's multi-hop, peer-to-peer. A lot like the current amateur packet radio network, except it's spread spectrum, and there's no real infrastructure, so there's no, you know, PBBSs or digipeters or stuff like that. And so there's use cooperative routing between all the nodes, and the stations are, you know, randomly distributed wherever, you know, people happen to put them up. And a couple of the key factors in making the system work and grow to a large network is that you use automatic power control and minimum energy routing. And Tim showed that by doing that, you can guarantee that you have decent throughput as the network scales. As it gets, as you get thousands and thousands of stations, you can still get good bandwidth out of it if you use automatic power control and minimum energy routing. And I won't go into why exactly that's necessary, but that'll become more clear. And essentially, this is just a graph of what a station layout might look like, where at each vertex you would have a station, and then the edges represent routes between them. And so, if for example you wanted to have this station wanted to transmit to here, you wouldn't transmit all the way across. You would use minimum energy routing, minimum transmitted energy, and so you would hop at the vertexes along the way to get there. And by doing that, you ensure that the channel noise level doesn't get too high, and so you can get good signal noise ratios and good throughput. Because this is spread spectrum, so everyone transmits on the same frequency, and there are multiple transmissions at the same time. So you need some coordination, otherwise you just get tremendous noise growth and nothing gets through. Okay, now throughput in the system is determined by how much interference there is. You're not that concerned about background Gaussian noise, because it is an interference-limited system. Your fellow network members will create interference against your packet through their transmissions, and so their interference is your noise. And so Shannon's theorem says that channel capacity C is proportional to bandwidth. And proportional to the log base 2 of 1 plus the signal noise. Essentially, that says that as signal to noise ratio increases, you can get more bits per second per hertz. And in a noise-limited system, that log basically your channel capacity is proportional to your signal noise ratio. And that's valid under a noise-limited system, which is what this will be, assuming there's any number of users actually participating in it. So now, in spread spectrum, and although the system isn't inherently tied to direct sequence spread spectrum, it's probably easier if you think of it in that manner. And so you have processing gain, and processing gain is the ratio of your bandwidth to your bit rate. And the more processing gain you have, for fixed bandwidth, the less throughput you get, but the worse a signal-to-noise ratio you can deal with. And so the way this is computed in the simulations that we did, you have, for example, just say you have a negative 20 dB signal noise ratio raw for the whole channel. And you can operate well into the negative signal noise ratios because of the processing gain. If you have a negative 20 dB signal noise ratio and you know that for the bit error rate that you want, for example, you need a plus 10 dB, then you know that you need 30 dB processing gain which means a bandwidth expansion of 1,000. And so the processing game essentially determines the number of users the system can support and the throughput that the users get given a fixed bandwidth. Now, in a normal packet radio system, you have two mechanisms for packet loss. Those are collisions, where one transmission stomps on another, and you can't decode it. And the other is channel noise levels, which cause random errors and packet loss through that mechanism. And in spread spectrum, you kind of have a continuum of that, because collisions, unless you get a lot of collisions because a lot of people are transmitting at once, but the processing gain allows you to separate them out, and so they just add to the aggregate noise level. And so you have a continuum. Now, on the other hand, if you have a very nearby station which transmits with a high power, it will cause what's known as the near-far problem, and will make it impossible to decode packets from more distant stations. And part of that is alleviated by the automatic power control, but that's not perfect. It doesn't completely eliminate that, and that's more of what I looked into in this paper. And then you also have the channel noise levels, which weaker collisions just add to the aggregate noise, and that causes a increase in the signal noise ratio, decrease in signal to noise ratio. Now, what I looked at mostly in this research that this paper is concerned with is multiple access mechanisms. And in traditional packet, there are, you know, dozens of these mechanisms, and there's Aloha, slotted Aloha, CSMA, and so I looked at extending that to spread spectrum, because in spread spectrum there hasn't been as much of an interest in what mechanism are we going to use to determine who transmits when, because the processing gain makes that somewhat less important, but it still is a strong factor. So in traditional packet radio, we have Aloha, which basically says transmit when you want to, which actually works very well in a lightly loaded network. And then we have packet radio uses, carrier sense, multiple accesses, and there's dozens of others that people have researched. And I looked at extending these to spread spectrum. And so I looked at five mechanisms to do this in spread spectrum. And the first one I dubbed Aloha SS, which means it's basically like Aloha. When you have traffic, send it. I modified it slightly in that if you're busy receiving, don't start sending because you'll stomp on your own reception. So that it's not truly Aloha, but that's, you know, a minor difference. The next method I looked at was didn't really have a name. Tim, in his thesis, looked at timing stations, giving them transmit and receive windows. And essentially, you had these windows that were based on a pseudo-random sequence. And so a station would only transmit when it was in a transmit mode and the receiver was in a receive mode. And that allowed you to prevent stomping on your own reception. The next listed there is OFSS, overload signal spread spectrum. That's actually, I was at a conference where the people who developed that were talking about it, and that's what inspired this work, actually. And then there's noise sense multiple access, which is what I was principally looking at. And then there's combination systems. So first off, we have Aloha. And transmit on demand, this is very good for latency, because as soon as you have, you know, a packet, you send it. So there's no waiting, except if you're busy receiving. It works very well under light loads, because there's not that much interference that occurs if there's not that many packets in the network. Under high throughput, it leads to a poor SNR. And actually, much like standard Aloha, as the offered load increases, the throughput reaches a maximum and then begins to fall off again, which is just like in a standard packet. As I was discussing before, a poor SNR means that the spreading gain, the processing gain, will have to be increased. So that essentially lowers everyone's throughput because you have to have a high processing gain because you have low signal noise. So poor SNR does not mean you can't operate. It just means that everybody has to go slower to accommodate that. And so what I determined from the simulations that I performed was that you get this increase in the latency in terms of packet times, but you get a decrease in the throughput, so as a net you lose ground because your signal noise ratio gets more worse than the latency gets better. And so this is a losing system in relation to the baseline, which was Tim Shepard's system, which used the pseudo-random time slots for a transmit and receive. And essentially the way this worked, a station, you would only transmit when you were in a transmission slot, the receiver was in a receive slot, and you knew the local stations around you that you would transmit to, because you would only transmit to nearby stations because of the minimum energy routing. You would know when they're in receive slots and when they're in transmit slots. So you would only transmit when they are in receive slots and you're in a transmit slot, and when and someone very close by who might be listening to another transmission was not receiving. That would prevent nearby collisions. For example, if I was transmitting to someone all the way down there, I was in transmit, they were in receive, but someone here was in receive mode, I wouldn't want to transmit all the way there because I would stomp on this person's reception if they were receiving from somewhere else. And that, so that's how that system worked. And it virtually eliminated collisions. The problem is you can have a very high channel noise level and still be transmitting, and thus you're dealing with the collision half of the lost packets, but you're not improving your signal noise ratio with this. And the other problem is under very light loads, you're still waiting if you're not in the right slot. Even though nobody else wants to be transmitting to you, you can't be transmitting when you're in a receive slot. And so under light loads, it is non-optimal. Well, in conventional TDMA, I assume you're saying non-spread spectrum. Okay, well, if it's TDMA, that would imply that one person in the network could transmit at once and everybody else had to sit around and wait. In this, many, many, many stations were in transmit mode at once, and many were, it was about half and half, or two-thirds and one-third would be in transmit mode and the rest would be received. Right. Because in spread spectrum, you can have multiple transmissions at once. You just don't want everyone transmitting at once. So that's what you divide it up so that certain would be transmitting and certain would be receiving. And the principal gain of that was you made sure you weren't transmitting to someone when he was, because his own transmission was just, due to the near-far problem, was so much bigger than any reception, it would blow it away. Okay, Tim's going to be covering that tomorrow in his talk, but essentially the actual code would be determined by the transmitter and receiver pair in all likelihood. So each transmission is working on different codes. You couldn't use the same code across the network, because then you could only have one transmission at a time. And that's not even spread spectrum, really. Right, exactly. Because, for example, wireless Ethernet, everybody uses one code, so that's not really spread spectrum. I mean, they transmit a spread spectrum wave, but only one person goes at a time, and so it really avoids the gain of spread spectrum. And then comes overload signal SS. Now, this is what motivated my research on this topic, and what they did, it really only worked for cellular systems, but if you had a small microcell, say, in an office, and everybody was transmitting to the base station, and the base station transmitted back out, if the base station detected that it was getting too many transmissions at once that it couldn't handle because there was too much noise, it would send out what's called an overload signal. And all the units, the mobile units, would see that overload signal and cease transmission or not initiate new transmissions. Thus, it would cap the noise level. And so when you cap the noise level based on what noise level you can tolerate, you can tightly set your signal noise ratios, and you can get pick your throughput much better that way. problem is it didn't prevent collisions at all. It just attacked at peak noise level. And it's really only for geographically small networks that were cellular-based, which doesn't really apply well to the infrastructureless paradigm that we're looking at. So that motivation was taken towards what I call noise sense multiple access, which is kind of like carrier sense multiple access, in which you, when you detect a carrier, you don't transmit. In this, when you can't detect a carrier because you don't know what codes all the other stations are transmitting to. And even if you did, you don't want to stop just because one other station is transmitting. You want to stop only when there's just too much noise. And so you essentially sense the channel noise level, and if it gets too high, you don't transmit. You hold off. And this keeps the noise level from growing too high, and at the same time, you're not sitting around waiting. And so it minimizes losses due to noise, and it partially avoids collisions, because if the noise level is very high near you, chances are someone else is transmitting nearby, and so there's a good chance it's going to the person you were trying to send to. And so it doesn't completely avoid collisions, but it does partially avoid them. It's not perfect because it senses noise at the transmitter, which you don't care about. You care about noise at the receiver. But that's inherent in CSMA too, and that's actually what MACA was intended to combat in the CSMA world. Yes? Yeah, it's just our channel noise level you measure.
No, RSSI.
Yeah, RSSI you could use, or you could go by received bit error rates, but RSSI is probably the easiest one to...
Before
de-spreading. Yeah. Okay, and then I took this a little further, and I tried combining it with exponential backoff, which essentially would say... there's too much noise now. In the normal one, you would say, there's too much noise now, I'm going to wait and try again next time. And then the next time, you'd say, is there noise? In the exponential backoff one, if there's too much noise, you would wait a random amount of time and then see, is there too much noise? And that is a small hit on the throughput, but it actually really helped out the signal noise ratio. Because without that, as soon as the channel noise goes down, you'll have a lot of people queued up waiting, saying, okay, I'm going to wait till the noise goes down. And then it goes down, then everybody transmits at once, and so it defeats the purpose. So that's why you have the random back-off. Okay, I simulated all this using the same simulator I used in my master's research. What it does, you generate a station placement, you'd model the path loss, you'd route between the stations, and generate a traffic stream. And then all those would be going files to the main simulator, which would time frame by time frame simulate the whole system, and then perform a data analysis at the end. These are my results. Sorry about the lack of resolution. But as you can see, Aloha is this one, and you get, this is a signal noise ratio on this axis. So you get the worst signal noise ratio with Aloha, which we expected because pretty much everyone's transmitting to once. So that really doesn't work all the well, because a 3 dB signal noise ratio means you get half as much throughput. And so this is Aloha, and then next we have this is Tim Shepard's system with the slots, and noise sense multiple access was here. It's kind of faint. It's the light blue. It's almost on the same line as the noise sense with back off, except the back off is slightly better. It's a larger peak, and it's more towards the positive signal noise ratio. And it turns out the best system. I'm sorry. It turns out the best system seems to be a combination of Tim's slotted system combined with the noise sense multiple access, because it takes the total collision avoidance of Tim's system and adds the bad channel noise avoidance. And so you get significantly better signal noise ratios. It's a big gain. This is about a dB and a half or so, and that transmits directly to bit rate gains. And then here, the metric I use to compute overall performance is a product of the latency and the signal noise ratio. So a latency of a half, so essentially Aloha is half. This is the baseline. So if Aloha is spends approximately half the time on in latency, but then gets 3 dB worse signal noise ratio, it gets half the bit rate, and so it's a wash. And that's why it's about a 1 there. And this is the base, and this is the base with the noise sensing. And that gets the best performance because we get a large gain in the signal noise ratio, although we do have a loss in the latency. It's a net gain. And noise sense with the back off is also a net gain, but the noise sense without the back off is a net loss because this actually is not much worse in the latency, but it's much this is worse in the signal to noise ratio area. And so the conclusion is channel sensing definitely improves performance of the system, and the multiple access scheme really should be tuned to the traffic load and network properties. Aloha works really well when you don't have many transmissions at once. The noise sense and TIM system work really well under heavy load. And it's definitely significant room for improvement in current multiple access systems that are used in spread spectrum. And future things that I'd like to look at with this are adapting MACA to work with spread spectrum. And I believe that would avoid all of the, or help avoid the collision problems that we're seeing, yet not waste time in slotted systems when there's no one else using those slots. And I'd like to work on adaptive routing and adaptive access systems. Thank you.